Have you ever heard of Eglantine Jebb? To my shame, I hadn't, and yet she was one of the most influential women of the 20th century. A social reformer and human rights pioneer, Eglantine Jebb founded the charity Save the Children and drafted the Rights of the Child, which evolved into the current United Nations Convention. She's now the subject of a one-woman show at the Edinburgh Festival Fringe, written and performed by Anne Chamberlain, and Anne's here now. Good morning, Anne.
Good morning, Sally.
Before I ask you about Eglantine's story, you've got an extract for us, I think. Can you read it and also set the scene?
OK, this is from an early part in Eglantine's life. She's just started at Oxford University and she's taking everything in and writing to her younger sister, Dorothy, who actually, in their later years, the two sisters found Save the Children together in 1919. But here we are in Oxford and Eglantine's just arrived and she's writing to Dorothy. Dearest Dorothy, here I am in the home of men who've known through the past centuries things I wish to find. It's a comfort to tread the pavements they trod, to see the towers of the university against the sunset as they saw them, to see the colleges they lived in, bathed in the soft sun. It's unreal sometimes, as a dream. I seem to feel them walk beside me, to hear their voices, to have their hands in mine. To know, to know, to know. I go into the Bodleian Library as into a church. I have this devouring passion for books, just because they are books. Dorothy, I believe cleverness is good. There is nothing wrong in hoping that this gift may have been bestowed on us to use in God's service. It is perhaps our sacred duty to try and be as clever as we can. Your most loving, Eglantine.
You get a real sense of her there, don't you? Her intellectual passion, her cleverness.
Yes.
But of course, there are a lot of clever people from Oxford whose names we do know centuries or decades later, but Eglantine Jebb is not one of them.
Yes, she's sort of known, but not as widely known as I would hope.
How did you first come across her?
I work as an actor, writer at festivals and so on, but also I occasionally do behind-the-scenes work. And I had a short communications contract with Save the Children. And a bit like you, much to my shame, I had never heard of Eglantine Jebb. And I was Googling before the interview and I was completely struck by how wonderful and visionary she was and that I'd never heard of her. There'd been a couple of biographies written a while ago, but there was one that Claire Mully wrote in 2009, and I was reading that, and I'd also been wanting to do another theatre project, but I didn't know what it was, and I also know what it takes, especially if you're going to be producing it and getting the whole thing off the ground, so it had to be something I was totally passionate about and that I felt was really worth doing.
So what is the nub of her story?
For me, I think her spirit and her vision. She had tremendous courage. From a child, she was always quite visionary and passionate, and I think there was always a search for purpose. What is the purpose in life? Another sort of underscoring thread in the play, I think, is what shapes a life. There are two major heartbreaks for Eglantine, and I often wonder, had she married, say, the first one, would this have happened? She grew up in a family which had quite a strong social conscience as well. They were upper middle class, so they had many privileges that many people didn't have and don't have, but also that enabled her to get to places like Oxford University. And she used her education in a very, I think, a very positive way, as did a number of people from those classes at that time.
But she also used it in quite a dramatic way. I mean, tell us about the Trafalgar Square demonstration in 1919 and what happened there.
Absolutely. Can I just preface that a little bit? Because we're at the end of the war in, November 1918. So the war had ended, but Britain and the Allies would not lift the economic blockade on Europe. And so food wasn't getting through. OK, the war was over. It's meant to be over. But this was another kind of punishment kind of being put on Europe. And so Eglantine and Dorothy were part of this group called the Fight the Famine Council. And they were lobbying to the government to say, please just let us send, let get food through. So she was leafleting in Trafalgar Square saying, look, there's millions starving in Europe. We've got to do something about this. And she was arrested. She was fined £5. In fact, the judge went on to pay the money because she was so persuasive in the courtroom about...
Yes, that's what I found astonishing. He fines her and then he takes her aside later and says, here you are, love, here's the money.
Because that was the law of the land, you see. So, and her leaflets, apparently, because they were about the defence of the realm, it was just the law, and but he was listening and thinking, actually, she's speaking a lot of sense. So that got good publicity. And then Eglantine and Dorothy thought, we've really got to do something bigger here. So they called a rally and they booked the Royal Albert Hall, which was a bold and brave thing to do. They did have connections. We've got to remember that too, because they were moving in such circles. So they were able to get the booking. But there were a lot of people at that time who were very anti them. There was a lot of negative feeling towards Germany after the war and not being able to realise that there were starving people and children, so many innocent people in Europe that were suffering still.
So she went on to, she founded Save the Children and wrote this incredibly important declaration about the rights of the child.
Yes, that's possibly her most enduring legacy, I would say. So yes, Save the Children happened, it started in the UK and then spread, and they eventually went to Geneva because Eglantine realised that after the war, that was the place for international organisations. And, you know, the League of Nations was being formed. And she thought, to be effective, I've got to be in Geneva. And it was there that she realised that just by responding to emergencies, it wasn't quite enough. Something deeper had to be established, something more enduring. And it was when she was in Geneva that she drafted and dreamt up the rights of the child. At that stage, there were five parts to it. And what she wrote was in 1924 adopted by the League of Nations, and it has since evolved into what is our current United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child, which was adopted in 1989. And it is the most universally accepted human rights treaty. So I think that's a really brilliant and an amazing legacy.
Some commentators say she didn't actually like children. Is that
well,
fair?
I think some people take that too far.
Or is it just because she didn't marry, she didn't have
She didn't have children. She did train. Here is possibly where that comes from. She did train to be a school teacher. She thought she might be quite good at that. But in fact, she struggled. She wasn't very good at, I think, perhaps keeping them under control. And so teaching wasn't her natural... She realised she was a failure at that. But, you know, she loved her nieces and nephews.
Finally, Anne, just getting back to this fact that really most of us, I would probably say, haven't heard of her. Is she just another of those sort of remarkable women we keep finding out about whose light was kept firmly under a bushel, frankly, because she was a woman? Or is there something else going on here about her anonymity?
Well, I'm not exactly sure. I think what you're suggesting about being a woman, I think that's possibly part of it. Certainly, as we know, even say 50 years ago, men's stories have been told more often than women's. So I think that could be an aspect of it. The other part, and I really don't know the answer to this question, because I've been thinking, who do we really hear about? You know, we know about Florence Nightingale. We know about the suffragettes, you know, the Pankhursts and so on. And then we also know about the artists of the time, the writers, the Anna Pavlovas, those people. And I wondered whether it was because of the field that she was in. But then we've heard about Elizabeth Fry earlier. I don't know the answer to this question.
Well, we all know a bit more about her now, thanks to you, Anne Chamberlain. Thank you very much indeed. And if you'd like to get to know this extraordinary humanitarian better, Eglantine is on at the Gilded Balloon TV at the Wee Room until 27th of August.